Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Adam Ragusea, in for Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Sharon Jones and the Dapkins performing at last year's Newport Folk Festival in Newport, Rhode Island. For more than 50 years, the Newport Folk and Jazz Festivals have brought some of the best live musical performances to the stage anywhere, and sometimes some of the most controversial. For example, in 1965, Bob Dylan famously plugged in an electric guitar in Newport and outraged many folk purists.
I ain't gonna work on Maggie's farm no more.
The Newport Folk Festival is still going strong. Last weekend, it sold out in advance for the first time in its 52-year history, thanks to performances from people like Earl Scruggs and this band, the Decembrists.
Isaiah Fudd.
The Newport Jazz Festival takes place this coming weekend, and it will feature 48 acts, including veteran jazzman Dave Brubeck, Wynton Marsalis, Joshua Redman, and the young bass player and singer Esperanza Spalding.
In a moment, we're going to welcome a jazz critic and a folk critic to talk about the importance of Newport and ask for your recollections of these great American music festivals.
But first, you can't talk about Newport without talking about George Wein, who's kept the music going for more than 50 years. Wein is 85 now. He set up a nonprofit foundation so that the festivals might live on after he's gone, which is not guaranteed. We spoke to him yesterday about that and about how the festivals have changed over the past half century.
We have a much younger crowd than we've had in the past few years, and that's for jazz, too. Of course, the music is different because young people have taken up folk music as the source of their inspiration. It's really an exciting time.
Yeah, and tell me about that. Talk first about the folk festival. Started in 1959. How has that folk scene changed in all those years, in your view?
Well, in 59, you had two branches of folk music. You had the Kingston Trio, Peter, Paul, and Mary, groups like that that took material and turned it into pop music. But you also had the originals. You had the great blues originals. You had the country originals. You had the people. They were the heritage of the music. They were the ones that created it. When you bring up a Mississippi John Hurt from Avalon, Mississippi, and he's singing the blues, that's an original.
Well, all you need to gather around the good sweet candy man's in town. Candy man, candy man.
These were originals. The people now are utilizing that source from the originals to create their own music, and it's marvelous. It's very good.
Now, Mr. Wein, the Jazz Festival, of course, takes place this coming weekend, the Folk Festival this past weekend. I want to ask you a little bit about the business side of this of these festivals and the future. Why did you decide to take them both nonprofit?
The reason we went nonprofit, because if we sell out, we still can't make money. And before, I had a big business, and I did festivals all over the world. Now I'm just doing Newport. So the only answer is to have people contribute. And we had a wonderful list of donors this year. We'll have a surplus, and we've definitely got set for next year. How whether we're set for 20 years from today, I don't know. I haven't answered that question yet.
And, of course, one of the big concerns is what happens to these festivals after you go. Do you have a sense that the future of these festivals are secure post-George Wein?
That's what I'm trying to set up. I hope it continues after I'm gone. I won't be around forever. I'm 85 years old. I'm still working. So I'm not worried about the artistic end. I am worried about the financial end. We'll see what happens.
And why is it so important to you, Mr. Ween? Of course, it's your legacy, but make a case about why it's important for these festivals to continue.
That's a good question, because is it important? I don't know. I know it's the first. It was the root of all the festivals that are happening in the world. It was the beacon that set the way. If that's important, yes, it's important. I don't know whether it's important. I mean, importance is whether people keep it alive. Then it's important.
But I have a sense I have a suspicion that you think it's important. I mean, it's been so much of your life's work.
No, I have never thought that anything I did was important. I really, people don't believe that. I always was just never thought we were making history when we were making history. we were just worried about getting from one year to the next year and making a living. I don't know whether anything I've done is important. Would there have been festivals if I hadn't started Newport? Of course there would have been. Festivals started in the Middle Ages.
Well, George Ween, you're a modest man, but let me ask you about this. I read some numbers here that are interesting. The Folk Festival had a talent budget of about $400,000 this year. That was a third of what it was in 2007. And some of the big festivals, like Coachella and Bonnaroo, routinely spend that kind of money on just one act. Yet despite the smaller budget, you don't seem to have trouble getting great acts. Well, what's the secret there? What's the reason for that?
Because the artists look to Newport, the folk artists look to Newport as a source, as a beginning. A lot of young artists are coming, and they want to be involved in Newport. And if some of the major artists that have started to make big money came to us in the last few years and very little money, and they'll come back again within our budget structure, I hope, because they understand and they know the purity behind what we're trying to do, put it that way.
Well, I think that's the answer to the question of why is this important. I think you just answered it. Let me ask you about the Newport Jazz Festival this weekend. In your memoir, Myself Among Others, A Life in Music, you wrote that jazz is no longer a dirty word. What did you mean by that?
Oh, well, we started in Newport in 1954. Jazz was music of clubs and related to drugs and related to alcohol. In the black community, it was not a good thing because it was against the church. And if in a white community, it said, why is our son ruining his life by going into jazz? That's all changed. Kids go to college now, and their parents are paying for them to get a degree in jazz. Now jazz is in every major school in America, in the world. Every major school has jazz courses. Jazz musicians now are treated with respect. They don't go in the back door, they go in the front door. People treat me with such respect, and when I started, I didn't get any respect. What is George going to make a living, you know?
Well, George Ween, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. I want to thank you so much for all you've done over the years to make these festivals possible. And thanks for talking to us today. We're very grateful.
Well, you ask good questions, man. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again.
Take care.
That was George Ween of the Newport Jazz and Folk Festivals. And we're listening to the horn of jazz great Wynton Marsalis. He'll be one of the headliners at this weekend's Newport Jazz Festival. And for the rest of the program, we're going to be talking about the legacy of these festivals, about the music, playing music. And to help us do that, I want to introduce Josh Jackson. He's the host and producer of Checkout on WBGO in Newark. He's also the anchor of NPR Music's coverage of the Newport Jazz Festival. And Josh, thanks so much for helping us out today. It's great to have you.
Great to be here, Anthony.
And Rita Houston, music director at WFUV in New York and host of The Whole Wide World with Rita Houston. She's going to be helping us navigate the world of the Newport Folk Festival. Welcome to Radio Boston, Rita.
My pleasure.
It's great to have you, and I want to tell our listeners that both Josh and Rita are at WFUV in New York. And listeners, we want to hear from you. Have you been to either one of the Newport Music Festivals long ago or recently? Give us a call and tell us your story about that. Tell us why you think these festivals have endured so long and why they're so important, what they contribute to America's music scene. You can give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also comment on Facebook and Twitter. We're at Radio Boston. Josh and Rita, let me start right off. You heard what George Ween said in his self-effacing way. He said he's not so sure if his work in keeping these festivals alive is that important. What do you think? Let me start with you, Josh. The jazz festival came first. Let me start with you first.
I think it's more than important that the tradition of Newport continues. You know, it's interesting. The writer Dan Morgenstern said at one point, the festival has sort of become a symbol of the survival and resilience of jazz itself, with all its faults and occasional strayings from the path. But there will always be a Newport somewhere, somehow. And I sort of would like to believe that that tradition will continue forward and that the young artists of today are supported.
And is that really the legacy of Newport, that it really, I mean, it has this great tradition going back to great names like Miles Davis and Mingus, but it's supporting and bringing forward a new generation of musicians all the time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think especially over the last 3 years, the programming at the festival has sort of taken a marked turn, in a sense, and really has put the spotlight on a lot of young musicians who are doing really important work.
Mm. Rita, same question to you about the Newport Folk Festival, the importance of it to the folk scene today.
I think the legacy of Newport looms large. You know, you referenced Dylan in 1965. That's become such a sort of iconic pop culture moment. And every single artist, I think, that steps on stage at Newport Folk has a little bit of that sense. And I also think from a folk music point of view, there's that spirit of rebellion that Dylan instilled in Newport in 1965. Certainly many others did. And I think that spirit is still very much a part of the festival. And that, I think, is a big part of the appeal of it right now.
And Rita, we're going to play a little bit of that Dylan from that folk festival that you referred. And of course, the spirit of rebellion, it was a spirit of the times. But also, he was making a little bit of a rebellious statement about the folk festival itself, wasn't he? I mean, by plugging in and being electric rather than pure folk.
He certainly wasn't the first artist at Newport Folk to go electric, but he was certainly the one who made it famous. And I think he was making his own artistic statement that he was moving on and his music was moving forward. He wasn't just going to be a protest singer, but he wanted to be a rock singer.
Let's just listen just for a few seconds. All right, that's Bob Dylan going electric at the Newport Folk Festival in 1965. Josh Jackson, talk a little bit more about George Ween. What does it mean when he recognizes an up-and-coming player? How important is that to a career?
I think it's tremendously important. I mean, George Ween, aside from a handful of other names like Norman Granz and maybe John Hammond, is, you know, one of the great impresarios of this music. And, I mean, he created the modern-day outdoor festival. So, you know, if he sort of knights you or, you know, gives you some kind of baroness certification, I mean, it's not going to, you know, hurt your subsequent, you know, career trajectory in any way. I mean, if he books you for this, especially his most personal party and the one thing that he is steadfastly held to, you know, people take notice.
And this weekend at the Jazz Festival, big names like Wynton Marsalis, also up-and-coming names, Esperanza Spalding, a bass player and a wonderful vocalist. Can you talk a little bit about her and what you're looking forward to hearing?
Yeah, and she was a student at Berklee College of Music and then became a teacher there in a relatively short amount of time. And, you know, as a lot of people who had followed the Grammys this year, she won the Grammy for, you know, Best Artist. So she's quite a tremendous force. And, you know, when you see her initially, you're like, how can someone do what she's doing, which is playing the bass and walking the bass in a jazz way and singing at the same time? I think it's a lot to take in at once, but she really kind of makes it sound effortless.
Well, here she is, Esperanza Spalding. This tune is called Life of a Ripple. Where That's bassist and vocalist Esperanza Spalding. We're talking about the Newport Jazz Festival, which takes place this weekend in Newport, Rhode Island, and about the important legacy of the Newport Folk Festival, which took place last weekend. And we're asking for your calls at 800-423-8255. Tell us your stories about these festivals, why they're important to you. And let's jump right in and get a couple of callers on the air. Dave is calling from Framingham. Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Well, a couple things about the festivals, both folk and jazz. I was 19 in 1963, went to my first festival, folk festival. It was the first opportunity to sleep out on the beach at Newport. That was pretty exciting. And in terms of the jazz festival, two things that struck me. One was, I'll never forget this little sort of blue-haired lady in their 60s standing up on a chair screaming for Joe Williams, this big black jazz singer who was defining the jazz festival that year, extraordinary performance. And we began to think each year which artist was going to define the concert for that year, you know, the festival. And I remember one year it was Herbie Mann, another year it was Dave Brubeck, another year it was Miles Davis. It was extraordinary, and it kept us coming back each year to see which artist was really going to define the event for that year, and it was a real defining element of my own musical history.
Dave, that's a great comment. I'm so glad you called. Thanks a lot. Josh, Dave mentioned, 1965. The 1960s were a pretty exciting time for Newport Jazz, right?
Yeah, in fact, the decade started off in a little too much excitement. 1960 itself was probably the toughest year for the Newport Jazz Festival. They used to do it on July 4th weekend, on Independence Day weekend. And on July 2nd of that year, there were literally riots outside of Freebody Park, which is where the festival was held at that time. So this sort of mass of drunk college kids came in droves to celebrate and party over the July 4th weekend. And the Newport police simply couldn't handle the massive crowd. So at that point, the city council voted to cancel the rest of the festival, and it was just kind of this massive mess, and I'm sure that George Ween lost a ton of money that year. And there would be subsequent events where, you know, crowd control sort of became an issue.
Josh, if there's one piece of music from that time, what would it be? Give us something that we could play here.
Well, you know, from 1960, there was a great set recorded by Muddy Waters, and there's just a tremendous amount of soulfulness coming out of that performance.
Well, here he is, live at Newport 1960. This tune is called Tiger in Your Tank. Terrific energy right there from Muddy Waters live at Newport in 1960. This tune is called Tiger in Your Tank. Rita, I want to come back to you. First of all, let me just call out to listeners here. We're talking about the Newport Jazz and Folk Festivals, what they mean to you. If you have a memory, give us a call at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. We're asking what these festivals have contributed to the American music scene and what they've meant to you personally. Rita, we mentioned at the top of the segment that for the first time in 52 years, last weekend, the Folk Festival actually sold out ahead of time. That seems to indicate a pretty good deal of excitement for this music these days.
I think that's absolutely the case. And the Folk Festival selling out is most certainly a testament to the booking. The 2 days of the Newport Folk Festival was just a fantastic yet very completely varied lineup, you know, everything from like rockabilly legend Wanda Jackson to new bluegrass band Trampled by Turtles. Such a range of sounds. And throughout our coverage all weekend, it was even hard to keep saying we're at the Newport Folk Festival, because that four-letter word comes to mean so many more things than just folk.
Yeah. I'm going to read something, read off of our Facebook page. Newport Folk Fest was all kinds of amazing this year. Best memory, Pete Seeger in the Lego tent. Do we know what she's talking about there?
She is. This was the first year that at Newport they had a kid stage.
I see.
And almost all of the artists went over and made appearances on the kids' stage. Freelance Wales was there performing with PS22. A lot of the younger bands went over. And at 90-something years old, Pete Seeger made an appearance at the Lego stage. And they had Lego, you know, art for the kids, too.
It's great. I love hearing about the spirit. I asked George Ween, this didn't make it into the final cut that we aired a moment ago, about his favorite moment from last weekend's festival. And he said it was the way folks sort of come together on the stage, play together, and a real sense of sort of musical community that you don't often hear at normal, at sort of everyday concerts. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. And this year at Newport, that's always been a big part of the Newport Folk Festival, that spirit of collaboration. But it was really solid this year when one of the key collaborators is Pete Seeger. He jumped on stage with Dar Williams and John Gorka and Ellis Paul and Liz Queller in a songwriter's circle. Then he jumped on stage. Emmylou Harris brought him out to close the festival. And on stage at the end of the festival was Emmylou Harris, Pete Seeger, and many of the younger artists, Delta Spirit, the Civil Wars, the Secret Sisters, David Wax Museum, all singing along to Where Have All the Flowers Gone, being led by Pete Seeger. It's a beautiful moment.
We're going to cue up some David Wax Museum. It'll take us a few seconds to do this. We actually had them on the show. They were in the studio here. Terrific band. So let's just listen to a little bit of them right now.
Well, give me a break. Waiting ready to pounce. I was born with a broken heart. With a broken heart, she was broken. I was born with a broken heart. With a broken heart, she was broken. If you're out wandering the streets,
that's the David Wax Museum singing Born with a Broken Heart. They performed last weekend at the Newport Folk Festival. Let's take a call. Jason is calling from Plymouth. Hi, Jason. Good to have you on the show.
Thanks, Anthony. I think one reason why so many artists must love Newport is because when they get out on the stage and they look out into that spectacular setting in the Newport Bridge, I've heard so many artists from Rufus Wainwright to Wilco say, wow, look at this bay. You know, they're just blown away by it. And the thing that stands out at the Newport Folk Festival, it's different from the other festivals I go to, including the New Orleans Jazz Festival, is that the headliner of the day is not often the best act you'll see. Oftentimes I've walked away saying, wow, that third act that came out, like Belinda Carlisle, she blew us away. And my favorite memory is when Nickel Creek played there three, four years ago. And after they performed, as people were leaving the festival, they were out in the parking lot with about 200 people around them. They just wanted to keep playing, and they put on a concert out in the parking lot for people going back to their cars. It's a great time.
Jason, thanks. Josh and Rita, I'd like to get you both to sort of comment about the setting down there. But Josh, first of all, that idea of breakout performances that sort of surprise folks and that aren't necessarily representative of the headliners that are listed.
Yeah, I mean, especially in the current years, there have been a lot of artists that are really just being introduced for the first time to a lot of people who come for the Newport Jazz Festival. And so they have been quite a few great performers. We mentioned Esperanza Spalding earlier. I also, the last year, the performance by the guitarist Julian Lage was fantastic. And he had also done sort of a gypsy swing set earlier at the Harbor Stage. So, I mean, he's just an incredibly skillful musician, and you can kind of see the joy and watch him perform. And he's, you know, not even 25.
And Rita Houston, the setting down there and it being a sort of favorite of performance. And when I say down there, I'm in Boston. For you guys, it's up there, but you know what I'm talking about. It is a sort of spectacular setting there off the coast of Rhode Island.
It is a wonderful destination. And I think that spirit of discovery is definitely helped out by the fact that you're by the sea. There's three stages, Newport folk especially, and jazz. It's very easy to wander around from stage to stage. The crowds aren't crazy. There's, you know, it's very user friendly. So you are free to go and explore and discover bands that maybe you didn't know, but you just wander over to a stage and watch somebody.
Well, we're bringing up this music. This is Julian Lage. Josh was referencing him just a moment ago, and we got it queued up, so we thought we'd just play a little bit to continue to give people a sense of what goes on in Newport. Let me ask both of you, and I'll start with you, Josh. We heard George Wein express uncertainty about whether these festivals can go on after he goes. What's your take about their chances of surviving post-George Wein? Josh?
I think it has a very good chance. I mean, the conversion to nonprofit status, I do believe, allows George and Newport to secure funds from both foundation support as well as from commercial support in the same way that a public radio or public media outlet would do. So there's a great opportunity here, and I hope that that means a conversion of more money for jazz, frankly. I mean, instead of having another large elephant in the room, so to speak, with a limited pot of money, I honestly hope that this increases the amount of money that goes to support this great art form.
Mm. Rita, Josh sounds pretty optimistic about, you know, even after George Wein goes, that these festivals will continue. Do you feel the same way about the Folk Festival?
Certainly. I think there's, you know, there were a few rough years there for Newport, late 90s, early aughts, that we weren't so sure. The fans were not exactly turning out. And I think this past year, with a sold out in advance crowd and the excitement around the younger artists and these younger musicians and their ability to draw younger fans to it, I think the future looks bright. And the nonprofit status just ensures that commerce does not have to lead the way when the Newport goes to book. Mm. They can be free to be, you know, fully curatorial and not necessarily have, you know, commerce lead it.
Mm. Hard, be hard to imagine, wouldn't it, a world, especially the business that you guys are so closely involved in, without these festivals, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Josh, go ahead.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, Newport, as George himself said earlier, you know, is very much a beacon that's led the way for a lot of things. I mean, if we think about the history of this festival, I mean, the early festivals were fashioned out of orange crates and baling wire, essentially. And, you know, and look at what it has become, you know, at this point. And I think that that will continue to, you know, to be present. I think it will continue to support the great artists who are coming up, people like Miles Davis.
Well, here we are. We're going to end this segment playing a lovely version of Monk's Round Midnight. This is Miles Davis in 1955 at the Newport. That's not right. But anyway, it's a terrific version of Miles Davis playing Round Midnight. Josh Jackson, thank you so much for doing this. We appreciate it.
Great pleasure.
That's Josh Jackson, host and producer of Checkout on WGBO in Newark. He also anchors NPR Music's coverage for the Newport Jazz Festival. And Rita Houston, thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Anthony. Thanks.
Rita Houston is music director at WFUV in New York, and she's host of The Whole Wide World with Rita Houston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from theangleatboston.com. I'm Adam Ragusea.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.